Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. I want to start us off with a real quick story that should be an encouragement to you, as also acts as an update. Friday, the sign guy hang a sign in front of the building at 200 South Hanover Street. Go ahead and clap. So we have a sign, so hopefully you get a chance to see it. Drive by 200 Hanover Street. It's right across from the high school. We've been wondering about what to call the building, and so the thought popped into my head, if prayer is a weapon and we want that to be a place of prayer, maybe we should call it the Armory. So we'll put that onto the long list of suggestions that we've had. That might confuse some people, but... So here's the encouraging part of the story. So while we were bolting the sign up, a neighbor pulls up, rolls down their window, and says, "There's a new church in town." And I was like, "Yes." So I left the sign guy to his own devices for a moment, and I ran over and I talked with the neighbor, who really had no idea that Deep Rivers Church was up and running for a year and a half now. And so the trailer is obviously parked on Main Street, and we put ads in the paper, and we try to have somewhat of an internet presence, but shockingly, not everybody knows that we're here. But now if you're driving up and down Hanover Street, that's one more reason, one more way that people will see that. It gives us exposure. It's parked across from Soda Jerk, and certainly a lot of people drive up and down Main Street. But having a building with a sign just has a different feel to it. There is a stake in the ground in some respects, and we don't own the building. It's not ours, but God has opened it up for us to use. And so it was just encouraging, even when the sign was up for just a matter of minutes, a neighbor pulls up and starts asking questions and said, "Oh, yeah," and they haven't been going to church anywhere. And so we're going to pray that, in fact, we're going to take a moment now just to pray for not just our neighbor, our new neighbor, but anybody who's driving up and down Hanover Street and sees the sign. So let me pray for that this morning. Father, again, we come before you just grateful for all the things we so often take for granted. We thank you for the open doors, literally, that you have opened up for us on Hanover Street with the building. And we do pray for our new neighbor that that they would be encouraged, but that they would sense your leading to be involved in a church on Sunday morning. And we obviously pray that they would find a home here, but if it's not here, we pray that they would find a fellowship community, a community that talks about the fact that we are loved by God and joy of all. So we certainly pray for the folks who are going to be driving up and down Hanover Street this week, even tomorrow morning with all the school traffic that drives by there being so close to the high school. We pray that sign would be a testimony to you. Not just us, it's not about us, but that sign would draw people to the building or to here on a Sunday morning, and ultimately that they would be drawn to you. That's the idea, drawn to you, not drawn to us. But we thank you, and we pray for the testimony of that sign to accomplish kingdom things. Amen. I forgot my football. Jen, will you throw me the Josh? Let's complete a pass. No, I said Jen. That was a very nice sport. Did you play football in high school? Training camp 1961. Vince Lombardi gets the Green Bay Packers together. They just lost the championship game to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like we said, if you're going to lose the championship game, you might as well lose it to the Philadelphia Eagles, right? So Vince Lombardi gets his football team together. I'm sure they're disappointed by their loss. And it's probably a team of grizzled veterans in camp after they've lost. And the first day of getting back together is he holds one of these up and he says, "Gentlemen, all right. If you're visiting with us this morning, I've used the exact same illustration 4 weeks in a row. So that's why we're well-versed in what Vince Lombardi said. Now, why would Matt use the same illustration 4 weeks in a row? Matt is either lazy, Matt is either uncreative, or Matt is brilliant. Let's go with brilliant. Because the idea is using the same illustration over and over and over again should hopefully drive home the point that prayer is a foundational thing. And we need to keep going over the basics over and over and over again. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the movie Hoosiers, if you're familiar with that movie, about an Indiana basketball team, and they want to get together, and all they want to do is scrimmage. And the new coach shows up, and he places chairs down the middle of the basketball court, and they do dribbling drills. All they want to do is play basketball, but he recognizes the importance of the fundamentals of the game. Flashback of another old movie, The Karate Kid. Does anybody remember The Karate Kid? Can anybody see where I'm going with this illustration? I see one already. Now, if you're a younger generation than I am, you have no idea what wax on, wax off means. But I grew up with the Karate Kid movie, and wax on, the guy who teaches the kid how to do karate, has him do all kinds of errands around the house, basically, and has him pull a Tom Sawyer, has him do his work for him, and one of them is wax on and then wax off. And it seems like he was just doing, you know, mindless work, but he was teaching this young man the fundamentals of karate. And prayer is a fundamental thing. And even with the building, I mean, the building's been so much fun. We've ordered furniture. We're waiting for more furniture. We, you know, are doing all kinds of fun stuff at the building. And it's fun to dream about the building and, oh, what can we do at the building? But we need to slow down and remember that the fundamentals of anything that we do, it starts with prayer. And I'm sorry if I got the same illustration 4 weeks in a row, but I need to drive the point home. Prayer is why this church is going to grow. Prayer is going to make the difference. It's a fundamental. We got to do it. And I've said this before, but in the morning, when we first get into this place, we have a team of people. Sometimes it's small and sometimes it's large, and they just pray through this space. And at 9:15, we try real hard, no matter what's going on, to stop and to pray for this time. Thursday nights, we've been praying for the new building. We're trying to pray for 40 days as we start the year, 40 days of prayer in the new building. And so prayer is this foundational thing that we need to do. And it's really easy, again, to forget that. We've been talking about embracing the mystery of prayer. And if we don't embrace the mystery of it, we'll just get frustrated by it. We talked a little bit about sovereignty and free will and how those two things somehow mesh together. And no pastor ever is going to be able to stand in front of you and explain how that works, because there's a mystery to that. How does God's sovereignty coexist and mesh with our free will? So there's a conversation that we had about that. We talked about the heart motivation for prayer. Why are you praying? Why are you praying? Conversation. I was explaining to Sierra this morning, because she's visiting with us, this is how we end our service, is that we're going to stand and ask God some questions, trusting that God speaks. And prayer should have a conversational element to it. It's more of a telephone call than it is a television broadcast. And if we're not careful, prayer just becomes this one-way one-way broadcast to God. This morning I want to talk, I gotta put this football down, I'm too distracted by it. This morning I want to talk about embracing the mystery of prayer and why we don't see the answers that we hope for. And I want to be careful here. I don't want to be flippant about this. I just don't want to stand up here and brazenly, you know, blow through these points about why prayer isn't often answered. Because I'm assuming, pretty safe assumption, everybody in this room has prayed for something really hard. And when it didn't come true, that was hard. And a lot of people have walked away from the faith because a prayer went unanswered. And so I don't want to be, like I said, flippant about it, but we do need to recognize that not everything we pray for comes. It's the mystery of it. we'll let that frustration keep us from people becoming people of prayer. This morning, the passage I want to read is found in James chapter 1. Now, the first 8 verses are on the back of the worship guide, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. As I look through this week, James chapter 1 is just so rich in truth that the passage that we're going to talk about this morning is just contained in the first 8 verses. But there's so much else going on in there's so much going on in the rest of the chapter that I'm going to read the entire chapter, trusting that God's going to speak to you in something in this chapter. Now, it might be the topic of the morning, or it might be something else, but this is God's word, and we believe that God's word is always going to come back fruitful. So this morning, let me just take a moment, and we'll read James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom fails and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our fathers accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Again, thank you for indulging me this morning in reading the entire chapter. And again, If God speaks to you about something that isn't on topic, but still found in God's word this morning, there'd be a benefit to that as well. Maybe we've talked the fact that not all of our prayers are answered, and this passage brings up one of the most important points. James says, "When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." And obviously doubt is one of the reasons why probably our prayers go unanswered. Faith is a key component to answered prayer. We live in different economies. And one of the economies, the economy that we're probably most familiar with, is the financial one. Because in the financial economy, we trade money for goods and services. There's an economy that we can call God's economy. And I truly believe that God's economy is faith. It's trust in Him. If I told you, you could write God a check for $1 million and get into heaven, everybody would recognize that that's a foolish thing. You can't buy your way into heaven because God's economy doesn't work on an economic level. God's the currency that God appreciates, the currency that God uses is faith and trust. So when we come to God in prayer, we have to believe that God will do what He says He'll do for us. For us, we fall into the habit of thinking, if I see evidence, then I'll have faith. I'll have faith, sure, but I have to see evidence. When I see the evidence, then I'll have faith. Unfortunately, God works in a completely opposite way. He says, I want you to have faith. I want you to trust in me. Then I will show you the evidence. We flip it around. If God answers this prayer, then I'll believe. That's our economy. God's economy is, I want you to believe. Then you'll see the evidences. Double-mindedness. Mindedness is a problem for all of us, not just a hypocrite. If you think somebody's double-minded, you might think, oh, they're just a hypocrite. They say one thing and they do another. And that might be the case. But for all of us, we all suffer from an element of double-mindedness and how important it is that we believe that God can, and not just can, but that He will. What honors God more, obeying a whisper or obeying a megaphone? What honors God more? Being obedient to the whisper and walking in faith, or doing what He says because He screamed at you so loudly through your circumstances that you have no choice but to obey? I carry it over to this analogy I just thought of this morning. What honors me more if I say to my son Josh, hey, would you mow the lawn today? Or if I say to Josh 20 times, will you mow the lawn today? Will you mow the lawn today? Hey, I know it's 7 o'clock and the lawn has not been mowed yet today. Are you going to mow the lawn today? What honors God more? What shows me more honor? If I say to my son, hey, would you mow the lawn today, and it gets mowed, what honors God more is our faith. And maybe that realize that we are always looking for God to speak to us through answered prayer. First and foremost, when we need to walk in obedience and trusting that the evidence will be a result. We can also have a God can or a God will mindset. In fact, I think you could break this down a little bit more. And who knows where you're at this morning? You might honestly, let's be honest, you might be here with a God can't mindset. So situation pops up, your default might be God can't do something. Or maybe you're more of a God can, and that's good. But maybe you're a God can, but He won't. When we need to be in the mindset of God will, again, we're not presuming, And we're not going to be into the prosperity and health and wealth gospel. But when we pray, we need to believe that God will hear our prayer request and that God will be at work in that situation and that God will bless us. We need to approach God with that God will mindset instead of the God can but won't. We need to believe that God will. The second reason why our prayers might not God. And this is a big question. Think about your requests. Think about your petitions. Think about your heart desires. Do those things bring glory to God? Or do they just make your life better? God is about his glory. That's God's desire. It is for us to bring glory to him. So we need to evaluate. Now, I'm not saying every desire of our heart is bad and that God desires to provide for us and it's okay that we pray for 1,000 different things. But what's our heart desire behind why we're praying? Is it for our comfort or is it for God's glory? And again, we use the extreme and obnoxious example about praying for a Ferrari or a bigger house or, you know, a ton of different things. That doesn't bring God any glory. It's just meeting our own heart needs or our own wants. In fact, here's a challenging thought, that often our prayers have the unintended consequence of depending on God less. And that actually works against his desire. Think about that. That sometimes our prayer, us. That's a challenging thought. So when we pray, what's the heart behind it? How can God be glorified? And again, it's okay to pray that you get a better job or, you know, God's provision. But what's behind that? How can God be glorified in providing whatever your heart desire is? Maybe your prayer can bring glory to God. But again, what's your heart motivation behind it? When I was a kid, more than once I heard my parents say, and you could probably finish the statement for me because you're a parent or you've had a parent. It's not what you say, but it's not what you say. It's how you say it. So when we approach God in prayer, what's our heart behind it? Why are we praying what we're praying? So again, the first one is maybe we have doubt. And I'm not saying a lack of doubt is never feeling something. We're always going to wrestle with our feelings. So I don't want to equate that. Don't get wrapped up into the feeling part of it. Obedience is obedience whether you feel it or not. So doubt is obviously probably the biggest thing that we need to God. The third one is this. God might be working a better plan. My nose... I've prayed for a lot of things, like we all have. And a lot of things I prayed for haven't come to fruition. And a lot of things I prayed for, the door slammed no. And that was hard to accept a no. But if you indulge me for just a minute, if God hadn't said no to a lot of things I prayed for, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. There would be no Deep Rivers Church if God said yes to my previous prayers. Now, that's hindsight. And if you would have told me in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the disappointment, I might have acknowledged that in my head. Oh, yeah. But in hindsight, you can see. The challenge is that we recognize that God is often working a better plan. Garth Brooks sings a song that goes, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. You might be familiar with that song. I won't sing it for you this morning, but you might know it. We need to be thankful for the prayer. I talked to before, and, you know, I've grown up in the church, and hey, wouldn't it be neat to put together a long list of the prayers that God has answered for us? And we could do that, and it would be really encouraging to see what God has done. Wouldn't it be different to put together a long list of unanswered prayers that we're grateful for. That's a strange thought, isn't it? I am so glad that this didn't come true. I am so glad that I prayed and prayed and prayed. I am so glad that God closed that door. I am so glad that God said no. That might be just as important than the other list of, look what God did. He said yes to this. He said yes to this. Both of those lists need to be remembered and recognized. So God might be working a better plan. And I know that's hard, especially in the midst of the frustration or pain or disappointment. But again, it's the importance of stepping back and having a bigger perspective. The next reason why your prayer may be going unanswered is God is making you wait. Spiritual muscles are important, necessary. This is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Says, but they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I remember we began the year just a few weeks ago. It might have been the last sermon of 2019. Where we talked about putting steel into the spine of Christians. Nobody wants to be a wimpy Christian. Nobody wants to have a wimpy worldview. Nobody wants to be tossed around on the waves. The waves of circumstance can toss us around pretty quickly. They can easily become that nose ring that we can get pulled around by. We're not going to be double-minded if we have some spiritual muscles. And the only way to build spiritual muscles is to get them exercised. And waiting is how God chooses to build our spiritual muscles. Waiting muscles are good. Waiting allows us to pray without ceasing. When we feel worry, fear, doubt, discouragement, anger, we are to conscious isn't fun. But waiting brings maturity. This morning, in our pre-gathering time of prayer, we prayed a few things. We prayed for Deep Rivers Church to have a hunger for God's word, that we would have a hunger for scripture. We prayed that we would have a hunger for worship. We prayed that we would feel God's affections for us. And we prayed for maturity. We prayed that we would be a church that grows and matures, not just in numbers, but maybe more important, in character. God is concerned about your character more than your comfort. And waiting, being persistent, being that persistent widow that is talked about in Luke 18, that is going to bring maturity. Blessings are great, but more maturity is going to come from waiting and persisting than just enjoying the bounty of whatever God might bless you with. The last thing I wanted to mention this morning might be the hardest one of all. We pray for things and they don't come true, and sometimes that's... We aren't aware of God's will. We need to pay attention to this word abiding. To live in, to dwell in, to remain in. That is God's will for us, that we abide in him. God's will is both revealed to us morally. We know what God's will is for us. But God's will is also unknown. It's not revealed to us yet. And as we walk through this life, we understand what God's will is for us. And some of the things that I've prayed for really hard evidently weren't in God's will. And here's the hard part. But it's also incredibly freeing. So it's a four-word phrase that is hard to hear, but it's also incredibly freeing. And it's just a four-word sentence. Let God be God. Let God be God. when you can come to the point, and I'm not saying it's easy, and it might be a daily battle, but when you get to the place where you're willing to lay down your rights, in quotes, your hopes, your desires, life is going to get so much easier because you're not fighting with him. You're willing to accept his will and recognize, again, it's only going to happen when you recognize that his character is one of goodness and grace and mercy and that he has a love for you. So if you can recognize God's love for you, that four-word sentence, it can make a huge, huge difference to let God be God. So this morning we want to close with just asking God a few questions. Like I said, we believe that God speaks to us through his word. Next week we're going to start a sermon series on embracing God's word, and we're going to talk about the Bible in the month of February. So we want you to embrace God's word. God speaks to us through his word, but he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. So if you'd stand with me for a moment, and Sierra will play a little bit of reflective kind of music for us. And we want to ask God a few questions and trusting that he will speak to us. So the first question this morning is, do you have a God can or a God will? Where everybody's at in this room this morning, if you carved out time to join us for church, you probably believe that God is omnipotent and he can do whatever he pleases. But maybe you're not there. We're all on a journey, obviously. But there's a big difference between a God can do something and God will do something. So what's your default? What's your mindset? God can or God will? And the second question this morning is, how do your prayers and desires bring glory to God? You have a heart desire this morning. You have a need this morning. How does that situation, if it's resolved, how does that bring glory to God? And let that be your motivation for prayer. Again, this might be hard, but do you see how God might be working a better plan for you? Nobody likes to hear the answer no. Might be a little bit easier to hear the answer, not yet. But how might God be working a better plan for you in this area of an unanswered prayer? Questions are closed questions and some are open questions. Probably someone should say, you should always ask an open question, but this is a closed one. It's a yes-no question. It's not the kind that really facilitates conversation, but it cuts to the point. Do you want spiritual muscles? Are you tired of being tossed around on the waves of circumstance? In your spine. Do you want to mature? Do you want to grow? Now, if your answer is no, that's a different conversation. But if your answer is yes, do you recognize the waiting might be a part of that maturity? Thank you. last question. Oh. Yeah, yeah. You want to share now? All right. Elizabeth, what do you want to share?
Totally out of character.
No, it is. I was a little shocked. I thought you were going to come and say the building's on fire or something.
And I even asked if it was
okay. Yeah, please.
So I grew up without a dad, and I prayed pretty much every day that I wish he'd come back into my life. And he left when I was one. So thankfully, I had a mom who supported those prayers consistently. And I didn't really understand why he wasn't staying. And then when I was 15, he died. I found that out. So there was no chance I was ever going to meet him. And through that, God just still gave me so many blessings of family and friends who stood alongside me, but I still couldn't understand why. And now we have a little girl. I now understand the abandonment feeling for her. And so when I look back and I see years, I'm 40, years of trying to understand why I was the different kid and why I didn't have that and what I, you know, I can now see it. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Again, this is extremely difficult for me because it's a very personal journey, but I understand that it may not be God's will, and that's so hard to see that and understand that. But his way is so much better. And I don't know. I just had to share to have that faith that God knows way better than our human minds. Way, way better. And it's a reminder to me that even now as we journey, remember that. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much. You know, in the end, it'll all make sense. And it's neat that Elizabeth can go, I see how God used my pain there recently adopted or whatever the process is. But they've been blessed with a daughter just in the last year. So it's awesome that you can recognize that. The challenge is when you're in the middle of it to say, you know, God, this is hard, but God's going to use this for his glory someday. God's going to use this somehow to bring glory or to help somebody else. So thank you, Elizabeth. Never feel shy about wanting to share something. Well, the last question is why are you hesitant to let God be God? That cuts right to the heart of it. So I stood up here, I stand up here, and I say, we need to let God be God. Why is that hard? I'm not even going to throw out any suggestions. I'm just going to trust that the Holy Spirit will illuminate, show you what makes it hard for you to trust him. So, Father, as we close this morning, we do want to recognize that you can do anything, and you will work your will. Build our faith. Help us to trust you more. Help us to approach you with a God will mindset. And, Father, we pray that you also give us perspective. Even in the midst of the hard time, in the midst of the disappointment, that you would give us a perspective, a wider perspective, that you are at work and you are working a better plan. And Father, in closing, we just pray that we would all mature, that we would recognize the waiting is there for a purpose, and that we will let you be you. Let God be God. Let it start today. Amen.